want to introduce to you, some of you might know him a little bit, Michael Giles. He's an attorney of law. He's from the States. He's been living in South Africa for many years. We became friends during the ministry training program last year. Michael is married. I think you've got two children, Michael. Oh, one daughter, sorry. And Michael, we just want to welcome you. We're looking forward to the word he's bringing. He's also helping our church globally with this Bible school. So everything that we do is from Michael, but Michael's this type of guy. If you ever come into an argument or you think you say what you think, he will just say, no, what does it say in the word? So he's always bringing us back to the word, that we live according to the word and not according to what we think, but what God thinks. Amen. Michael.
Thank you, Thea. That was kind of you. Good morning, everyone. How are you today? Okay. It's always good to see the people of God. And I'll put my glasses on so I can actually see you. You know, Theo was quite kind to say that, you know, the benchmark of what I try to do is actually measured by the Word of God. And that's really why I'm here today. There's just really no other reason for me to be here unless I can faithfully and accurately tell you what I believe the Lord has to say to you. So what I'd like to do is first ask you all to join me in prayer, and especially to pray for me, that I will be able to faithfully adhere to what the Lord has given me to say to you, and that we will have open hearts and open ears, and realize that the Word of God is a mirror that He uses to let us see where we actually are, and what He also uses to encourage us and to convict us where necessary. But the conviction is done with love so that we can be able to be excited when we see Him and to embrace Him. And I ask for your prayers and your help this morning in Jesus' name. Okay, so I think Etienne is actually helping with the slides, and let's go to the first one. And the message today is, what will you say? And I think the Lord gave me that because He wanted me first to help you realize who's asking the question. And for that, I'm going to turn to Scripture, Revelation. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness, he judges and wages war. His eyes are a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. Those are crowns. And he has a name written on him, which no one knows except himself. He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies, which are in heaven, and these are armies, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. And from his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. And he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that's who's talking to us today. Not Jesus on a cross, not Jesus in a crib, but the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And once you realize who's actually talking to you, it makes you take a step back. Because we are not dealing with a normal entity. We are not dealing with someone that you would ordinarily just pass by on the street. We're dealing with someone who rules this universe and has created you, and has created you, and has created you for a special role and a special place. He has poured himself into our salvation. He has designed you from your mother's womb to do two things: to bring him glory and to prepare you during the time that you have in this body to go through the trials and tests that are necessary for you to reign with him. That is your calling. That is the design that he has for each and every one of us. So from this position, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, I believe he gave me two questions for us today. And the questions may be questions you aren't used to dealing with, but you have to. I'm going to have to. The first question is, and he's asking it, is do you know that you will die? Do you know that you and I will die? No matter how rich, no matter how poor, no matter how ugly, no matter how beautiful, no matter how fit, no matter how fat, you and I will die. And then there's a follow-up question. Do you know that after you die, you and I and everyone else will stand face to face with the Lord that I just described? That Revelation just told you about. That King of Kings, that Lord of Lords, whose mouth has a sword in it, whose eyes are flaming fire. He will face you, and he will face me, alone, and peer into our eyes and ask for an account of everything that we have done with these bodies that he has given us. Go to the next scripture, please. Our God is a God of honesty, and he tells us straight. And there is no point of me standing here and not telling you straight. He tells us in 2 Corinthians through the power of the Holy Spirit and through the Apostle Paul, for we must all stand before Christ be judged. We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil we have done in this earthly body. Why am I here today? I'm here because this is a message from our risen Lord in his post-resurrection glory, sending me, like Theo said, a lawyer, a businessman, a volunteer, a preacher, with a message for you and a message for me. You, a person he loves dearly, You, a person he gladly died for. You, a person he has provided a way back to God the Father through Jesus Christ, no matter your background and no matter what you have done. We've gone over the message, the fact that he started the message with two questions. Do you know you'll die? And do you know you'll have to face him and give an account? But I asked him, what's really the point of such questions? And I believe he gave an answer. He's asking these questions because the way many of us live is contrary to really understanding what life in these bodies is for. We aren't here to amuse ourselves, to live for our own pleasures, and to just have a good time. We're here, like I said before, to bring glory to God. We are here to get ready to reign with him as his bride, amen, Jesus Christ, throughout eternity. He wants us to know that based on many of our choices, many of our decisions, many of our actions, many of our thoughts, what we spend our time on, what our motivations have been, what our priorities are with our time and our money, our attitudes, we're living like we don't know that the answers to these two questions is a resounding yes. We are dealing with a God who sees and knows. He sees and knows everything. We can't fool him. I can't fool him. You can't fool him. He sees through us. Every thing we do. Everything we say. There's no hiding from him. And because he's a God of mercy, and because he's a God of love, I think he wants us to spend some time examining each and every one of us ourselves through the power of his word, so that we can correct what needs to be corrected and go on to accomplish the purpose he has for us. He's going to want you this morning to search your heart. And through the power of the word, allow him to search your heart and get to the bottom of some things. You know, time must be getting short. Windows must be closing. Gates must be closing. I pray that I can be faithful to this message. You know what? There are really three groups of us, three groups in this group today. Some of us, through ignorance or rebellion, are just heading for disaster, damnation. And some of us are self-deluded. We think everything is fine between us and the Lord, and it's not. Some of us know this, that all is not well. And you need to make a decision today. Some of us have been careless and lazy and lax about our salvation. We've been depending on a free grace message or any other assortment of false doctrines. You too think all is well with your soul, and that all is well between you and God. And he wants you to know it's not. Please listen to his word. The correction is one of love. And for some, it may be a last chance. And finally, there are some of us who have been hungering and thirsting after the Lord. But things are rough, and you don't know why. He wants you to pay attention today, because he's already told you about the nature of the walk with him. And for you not to be discouraged. He is with you. And the difficulties are there by design. He has placed them there so that you will lean on him. Hopefully this message will address these three categories of people amongst us. Because you see, we serve an honest God. He's a God of light, and he tells you the truth because that is his name. He is faithful and true. Satan is the great deceiver. He's the one that seeks to confuse you and make things murky and to distract you from what's important in life. Let's hear what the Lord has to say. Be corrected and encouraged. Know that there is hope because you are sitting here and you are still in these bodies. So there's time to listen to the Lord and align yourself with the greater purpose he has for you. If you're discouraged, it's time to face the word and see that your discouragement is not from him. He is the Holy Spirit, is Lord. And the Holy Spirit is a spirit of encouragement. So let's see what the Lord has to say. He speaks clearly with love and because he doesn't want any of you to be lost. He set this time up for me to come, and you guys have prayed so that I can faithfully say what he says for you. Let's go on. He tells us, enter through, this is Jesus talking, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life. And there are few who find it. Jesus tells you right now that he's not interested in majorities necessarily. He's telling you that even though the offer and he died for absolutely everyone will not make the choice. And it's a two-part choice. Look at the words. Please go back. The gate is small and the way is narrow. First, there's a gate and it's narrow. The gate is Jesus and Jesus only. He is the only way back to the Father. Amen. And if you don't take the gate of Jesus and be born again, you will not go to the Father. Amen. You'll have another destination. But it won't be to God the Father. Then he tells you something else. And notice it's joined by the word and, because it's a conjunction, meaning they have to go with each other. The way is narrow. Early Christians were often said to be walking in the way. It's a way. It's just not a one-time event where you're born again. It's a continuous series of steps throughout your life. It's a way. And the way is narrow. No, you won't be able to do what you want to do. You can forget it. It's not going to happen. Unless you want to be part of the Broadway. And he tells you, that leads to destruction. The gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life. And there are few who find it. Luke says it slightly differently. Luke tells us to strive to enter. What does the word strive mean? It's exertion. It's effort. It's not just going to happen. You can't be a fish that's dead and just go down the current. There's a fight. There's an effort. There's a decision. It is just not going to happen. God's not going to force anybody to go to heaven. If you get there, it's because you want to be there. He's not interested in slaves. He's interested in sons and daughters. And what Luke also says is that there will come a time when the master will stand up and close the gate. So you don't have all the time you think you do. When the King of Kings and Lord of Lords tells you and invites you, you need to respond. Because there is no guarantee that you will have another chance. And after all, who are you to respond and not respond, to respond negatively to such an invitation? A lesser light, like the Queen of England, if she were to give you an invitation, you would do everything to get there. If a sports hero invited you to his or her home, you'd do everything you could to get there. How dare you refuse such an invitation? Please go on. Beware of the false prophets. Our God's honest. He's telling you there are going to be false prophets. He tells you right here. Who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Yes, he sees through the false prophets. He sees through the false preachers. He sees through those who claim to be his and aren't. He sees through all of them. And guess what? He doesn't take them away. He leaves them right in the church. Jesus had Judas, did he not? So why would you think this place would be any different? In the first church with Jesus, the pastor, there was Judas. God saw through that. And he left him right there until the appointed time. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. He doesn't take them out. He tells you how, what to do about them. You need to be developing your spiritual antennae. He tells them you will know them by their fruits. They are there to help perfect us, to help us mature. No, it's not good that they're there, but he works all things together for good, for them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. So why are you so disturbed when you see pastors falling like flies in sin? He's told you it was going to happen. Why do you doubt him? Because you have not spent the time in the Word. Lax and lazy. And when you see him, there will not be an excuse for that. When I see him, there will be no excuse for me. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So we know what will happen to false teachers, false preachers, false Christians. Cut down and thrown into fire. So then, you will know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father, who is in heaven, will enter. This is not a mouth party. This is a do party. You can say whatever you want. Words are cheap. Don't be a fool. Watch the actions. He's told you to weigh fruit. So if you're led astray, whose fault is it? He's warned us. Has he not? Can it be any clearer? And what does he tell you? He says, he who does the will of my Father. Not say the will of my Father. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Notice the answer. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. What is going on? Prophecy, casting out demons, performing many miracles. Oh my God, this preacher is, didn't you see the signs? He healed. Yes, it was a genuine healing. Surely this must be a man of God. Didn't you hear how beautifully she prophesied? And it came true. She told me all these things. And they came true. Surely she must be a woman of God. What else? Miracles. My God, I was blind and I can see now. Surely that must show something. Yes, it shows that that person had a gift, a supernatural gift. But it does not show that that person belonged to the Lord. What shows that? He who does the will of the Father. Prophecy is a gift. You need to be looking for the fruit of the Spirit, not the gifts of the Spirit. There's a huge difference between the two. Gifts are given without repentance. I could have the gift of healing and go and lay on the bed of adultery and get back up and heal just as well. If not through the power of the Holy Spirit, then I could appeal to Satan and he can give me the same types of power. Supernatural powers. He'd just call one sick demon off of the person and give him another. And you'd be fooled. It is he who does the will of my Father. And guess what? The Lord tells them straight to their face, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers. You who practice lawlessness. Let's continue. Therefore, now he'll tell us what to do about it. Everyone who hears these words of mine and acts, hearing and doing again, no one gets an exemption to that. May be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell, and the floods came. And the winds blew and slammed against that house. And yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. But please go back. The rain fell. The floods came. The winds blew and slammed. Does that sound like a prosperity message? The prosperity in that message is that the house didn't fall. Amen. Not that you were exempted from the rain. Not that you were exempted from the floods. Not that you were exempted from the winds. The prosperity is founded on the fact that you built the house on the rock and it stood. You were inside safe and could rejoice and thank God that despite everything that was thrown at you, you stayed warm and you stayed dry because it was founded on the Word, founded on the rock. But it didn't just happen. What happened before that? You heard and you acted. That was the foundation. And what was the rain? Some have said the rain were afflictions from God. Yes, God sends afflictions. Things to test us and to make us grow. Often in Scripture, the seas are representative of humanity. And the floods came. And yes, that's persecution because people will laugh if you stand up for Jesus Christ. And if you can't put up with that, you're in the wrong ballgame. They're going to laugh. And ridicule is very difficult to endure. But if they laughed at Jesus on the cross, what do you think they're going to do with you? You're not going to get an exemption from that. He never promised it. We have a God of honesty. He's going to tell you what the deal is. There will be no ignorant people who make it to heaven. And then the winds blew. In the book of Job, you see that Satan controlled the four winds, and the four winds went and grabbed the house at its corners. So yes, you will have satanic and demonic opposition as well. But despite that, those who have been wise and who have acted and heard will have a house that does not fall. Let's look at those who don't. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain, you're still going to get the rain. You're still going to get the floods, and you're going to get the winds blew and slammed against it, and it fell. And great was its fall. It fell because there was no foundation. There was no time spent with the Lord helping him work through the defective aspects of our character. There was no time listening to the Holy Spirit as he told us not to go there and not to do this, to change our will to align with his will. We built it our way, not his way. And when you build it your way, you can't expect it to stand. When I build it my way, I can't be surprised when the walls crumble. Because there is no guarantee that what Michael Giles says is what is going to help you survive. The guarantee runs to what the Word, faithful and true, the Word of God says. Amen. And how well and how thoroughly you pay attention to him and act. Let's go on. Can we know beforehand? Does he just say, okay, you'll find out on Judgment Day how you do? No, I don't think so. I think Scripture he gives us helps rescue us there also. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus and urged him, and turning to them, he said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and his mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Yes, you read it straight. He used the word hate. And he says, you can't be my disciple. Is Jesus anti-family? Well, we do know that when his mother came with the brothers to take him to a mental institution, I think, when he was first proclaiming the gospel, he told the people who were listening to the word of God that you are my mothers and my brothers and sisters, those who do the word of God. We know that one of his best friends, Peter, he turned on and said, get behind me, Satan, for you do not consider the things of God. So what's he saying? He's saying, listen, you know what? If you can't come to me because mama says, that's not the way our family does things in terms of religion. If you can't come to me because your wife insists on doing things a certain way. If you can't come to me because, you know what, it really will embarrass my brothers and sisters. You know what? He didn't have time for you because you can't be his disciple. We're going to see later, he doesn't have time for cowards. Either you're going to be a man or you're going to be a woman. As he's defined it. You can't be his disciple. And guess what? If you can't make that fundamental choice, the trials, tests are going to drive you away anyway. Not going to be able to put up with it. And anyone who does not carry his cross, oh no, carry the cross. Who talks about that anymore? Who wants to talk about it anymore? I don't want to talk about it. But the Word talks about it, so we don't have a choice. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Let's go on. What's this cross business? What is he talking about? Remember there was another person we had to hate, and that was ourselves? Oh, I don't like that. Let's go on. Galatians. I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Hey, listen, everybody has a sinful nature. And I'm going to tell you, and you know this already, sin is pleasurable. It is. You know it and I know it. But guess what? The scripture tells us it's pleasurable for a season. Only for a while. And then the wages of sin are death. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. Guess what? They're fighting, but you have to decide which one, who you're going to listen to. That's the point. You have to decide. And you are going to live with the consequences. I'm going to live with consequences. And guess what? I have lived with the consequences. And God did not give me instantaneous deliverances. No. He walked me through the deliverance. But I had to pay. I had to endure the consequences. And there are consequences. Sin is pleasurable for a season. And when the season is over, you know the deal. We have to pay. We have to walk through whatever that mess we've made. So, let's go on. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under the obligation to the law of Moses.
When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Here is the fruit. Remember we talked about the false prophets? Remember we talked about the false teachers, the false professors, i.e. the hypocrites? Here's the fruit. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, any sex outside of marriage. Impurity, lustful pleasures. Idolatry. Idolatry? People still practice that? Yeah. What about that money in your bank account? I'm not trying to be funny, but you know how it is. And more importantly, God knows how it is. He tells us, God or mammon, mammon being the god of materialism. That's a choice. Sorcery. Who's witches anymore? What about astrology? What about sangomas? What about witch doctors? What about your horoscope? Hostility. You're always angry about something. What's the problem? You can't get along with anybody. Quarreling. Jealousy. Whoever sees jealousy? Now we've moved to the interior landscape where nobody else really sees, but guess what? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords sees. And that's the one we need to be concerned about. Sure, it's nice to stand up here and preach, but to tell you the truth, it really doesn't matter because I still have to answer to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords because you all aren't going to be able to help me. I'm standing there alone. And then he's going to look at me, alone. Okay? Outbursts of anger, selfish ambition. I want to be ahead because I should be ahead because I'm better than you. Dissension, division, envy. Somebody across the street got a Jag, now you want one. And you just can't be happy until you get it. And after all, I serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Why shouldn't I have it? Envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before. So the Galatians weren't too different from us, were they? They had to be told repeatedly by Paul, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you again, he says, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. So he tells us in the Word, up front, straight, what's not going to be in the kingdom of God. And if you or I think we can indulge this and get into the kingdom of God, we're wrong. He tells us straight. Let's go on. But if the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in your life, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. All right? Anybody confused? That's what you have to do with that sinful nature. You have to decide to do it. Nail it to the cross. That's what carrying your cross is. If you're not carrying your cross, don't think you're a disciple because you're not. I didn't say it. I'd like for it to be different. Yes, that's right. I was an attorney. I was a lawyer. If I could get you out of it, I could because I could get myself out of it too. But I can't. Not and go to his heaven. Let's go. So, it comes down to something very simple. Where do you stand? You've heard it. I've done everything I could to convey it to you. I've pointed it out in the Word. As always, it's going to come down to you and your choice. Where do you stand? Are you going to have a reward or are you going to have a disaster when you meet that King of Kings we described before, that Lord of Lords with those red flaming eyes? Let's hear what he says. And I heard a loud voice. This is John with the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. That's the reward. That's the destination. That's what this whole life journey is about after you've entered the narrow gate. It's getting you ready. for him to live amongst his people. He's holy, holy, holy. He's not going to be living in anything that is not holy. He'll provide a way for you to become holy. He will provide a way for you to accept his sacrifice of Jesus Christ as payment for your sins, as forgiveness for your sins. He will provide the baptism of the Holy Spirit so you have the power to live out a life of holiness. But he's not going to force you to choose to do it. That's your choice. And you alone, will answer for the consequences of your choice. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, from his people's eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will be no more death for his people. There will no longer be any mourning for his people, that's true, nor crying or pain. The first things have passed away, he tells us. And he who sits on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." And he said, "Write, for these words are faithful and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of water, of the water of life without cost. He who overcomes," you got to overcome. Can't overcome without the power of the Lord. But you have to decide to overcome. "He who overcomes will inherit these things. And I will be his God, and he will be my son. He will be my daughter. She will be my daughter. But for the cowardly and the unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And for them, there will not be an end of crying. There will not be an end of pain. Today he gets before us life and death. Anybody under the sound of my voice has the ability, no matter what you've done, to choose life. You could have been the biggest hypocrite there is. Through the power of the Word of God, hopefully you in your interior examination see that if you are not materializing the fruit of the Spirit, you're not a disciple. And you have time to do something about it. Remember, you and I, as surely as the day we were born, we'll die. And remember, you and I will be summoned before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords to give an account for everything that we have done in these bodies that he has given us to use. Do you really want to stand there in your own strength? Or do you today want to take up the offer that he has given every man, woman, and child? To trade your filthy garments for the holiness of Jesus Christ. So that when you stand before him, as you will be clothed not in Michael Giles's righteousness, which amounts to nothing, or your own righteousness, which amounts to nothing, but in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And then you will be able to hear, "Welcome home." Brothers and sisters, I don't have anything else to say. I hope the Lord uses this to convict and encourage, to get those who need to make decisions to make the decisions that they will be answerable for eternity. Theo?
Can we just stand, please? Father God, Lord, we just want to honor you, and we want to thank you, Lord, for your love, Lord God. Lord, you say that you disciple or you discipline your children because you love them, Lord. And Father, I just realized today, once again, Lord God, all of us stand here on earth for one reason, because you have created us, Lord. And your purposes is for us to walk in the fullness of who you are, Lord. But Lord God, as Michael had said, the choice remains ours. None of us created ourselves. None of us can plan ourselves. Lord, even like what that man said, the people who are advocating for abortion are those people who have already been born. None of us can choose. But when we are born, we can know one thing for sure, that you are an almighty God. And that your purpose is for us, and that you love us, Lord. But Lord God, you don't love us, Lord. You radically love us. And the demand that you have for us is to radically love you. Because you loved us so much that you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come and die for us on the cross. So that all this pain and suffering that is meant for us, that we deserve because of our sin, can be taken and put upon you. Because when you said it was done for all of us. Lord, that you bled for every one of us, Lord. That when you were bleeding, that you were being scourged, Lord. That you were being slapped and hit on the head and spit in the face. And standing there, or hanging there naked, it was for all of us. So when you said it's done, it was done for all of us. But Lord God, that you said, this is the free gift of salvation, of faith, that we come in grace to you, Lord God. That we understand that when we come in faith and we surrender ourselves, Lord God, we say, Lord, in our own strength we cannot do it, but we surrender our lives to you. But Lord, you say faith without works is dead. So if we're not walking and doing the word, you just showed us so clearly that there's something wrong. Because you've not received the full gift. Because you resisted me. You haven't chosen life.